say Mallorca, and you say Majorca. I say
Majorca,
and you say
Mallorca.
Mallorca, Majorca, Mallorca, Majorca. Let's call the whole thing off.
So, that went okay.
What did?
Episode one.
I did, actually, yes. Thank you very much for people who've... just mostly thank you for listening to it, and even more thank you for saying you liked it.
It was nice. Lots of nice people said nice things.
They did, absolutely.
So we shall proceed.
And much against my wildest expectations, here we are at episode two.
Episode two.
Whoever thought.
How are you getting on with your mask?
I have it with me. I'm happy to wear it when I'm supposed to wear it. I'm not entirely sure, really, when I'm supposed to wear it, so I have it hanging off.
Weren't you listening?
Well, it was a bit. I have it hanging off one ear, and I kind of look around to see what everyone else is doing. Like, I'm walking through the car park going, am I supposed to...
Yes, you are.
It is,
I think so. Just put it on.
I do. I'm very happy to do it. It is a bit hot, but,
It is hot.
If some old ladies make it to even older age, thanks to me wearing a mask, then I'm happy to do it. And so should you.
The ruling about the masks, though, you've got to be careful. If you're in a car on your own, you don't need to wear a mask.
I get that.
So just don't bother.
The mask is to stop you infecting other people. If you're in the car on your own, the only other person you can infect is yourself.
Yeah, there is no other person.
You can only infect yourself if you've got it anyway. So I think we're cool. Put it in the glove box.
Yeah, that one, you're okay. You know, enjoy the air.
Unless their aircon's brilliant and they're cold.
It gets a nice nose warmer.
Keep you warm.
Yeah. And,
it'll be great in the winter. We'll all have one. Big woolly ones.
But you said, apparently, that now, is there only two regions in Spain that haven't made it legal, like, important and legal?
Yeah, here we are. Like,
mandatory, that's the word I'm looking for. Mandatory to wear a mask.
I'm not sure when you're listening to this, but we're recording it today on the Monday, the 20th of July. And Spain, all but two of the autonomous regions of Spain have increased the lockdowns a little bit more or made mandatory mask wearing in most situations mandatory. And the same with France, actually. The same France today made it mandatory inside. It seems that Britain is heading the same direction. So you're not alone.
Yeah.
It's the right thing to do.
But, you know, Mallorca, as an island, has still got a very, very low incident rate of coronavirus.
It has. And always has.
It's still extraordinarily safe to come to.
It is very much so. It's,
so if you're planning on coming on holiday, think about Mallorca, please.
If you don't live in Spain and you're watching the international headlines as we are doing, you'll be forgiven to think that into thinking that Spain had been hit really badly, and of course it had. But it was mostly Madrid and a few other metropolitan hotspots that grabbed most of the cases, suffered most of the cases, and skewed the average in their direction. The Balearics actually was never really hit very hard in terms of cases or fatalities. All of them horrible, of course.
Yeah,
but,
terrible.
If you live on an island, it's very easy to stop people coming and going, and you lock everybody in. So it was very successful. But as we spoke about in the last podcast, we got to make a living, and we make a living by people arriving from other countries in airports spending their money here.
Which might be why there's been such huge reaction to the local and international press coverage of a certain incident in a certain place that the press love to demonise.
This week we're going to talk about Magaluf. Now, I can already hear about 75% of you rolling your eyes. You live in a lovely finca in Soyer or Deir or in the countryside, wherever you are. And of course, you may never have been to Magaluf, and why would you? Why would you? I haven't been. I'm way too old.
That's not true. You've been. We've both been a lot. We haven't been on the last... I'm going to lie. I'm lying. I have actually been out on the piss.
On purpose?
One night or two. A long while ago, I did have the mother of all hangovers the next day, but mostly we go to Magaluf for work.
We do. We cover, as photographers and journalists, we cover the different gigs that go on there, sometimes the newspaper stories and various different celebrity appearances.
Love Island.
I don't think you can can't really call that news, but it's the sort of thing we do.
And
However, Magaluf.
But we're not that well connected to Magaluf, are we?
No, we're not. I mean, Magaluf is a place that dominates the headlines. Of an island of, about this big. Sorry, that's not good on audio, but you know what. Half the world thinks that Mallorca is Magaluf.
That's it,
Magaluf.
Wrong.
Magaluf isn't all Magaluf. One street in Magaluf seems to define Magaluf, and actually for a great swathe of the global population, seems to be synonymous with the image of Mallorca. And as we all know, if you live here, and if you, and most of you, if you come on holiday here too, you'd know that nothing is further from the truth. However, I'm going to say it for the second podcast in a row, Magaluf is the elephant in the room. It's the pantomime baddie. There we go.
There we are. The pantomime baddie is a better one, because everybody loves to hate that this particular element of Mallorca. But at the same time, what would Mallorca be without that baddie?
Well, it's perfectly legitimate. You know, if you want to, if people like to go partying with them on holiday, and why not? You work hard all year, you save your money up. You know, I'm not averse when I get an occasional holiday to drinking at lunchtime either. Don't go quite so hard. But it's a legitimate, you know, going on holiday to have a party is fine. And Magaluf has provided exactly what people have been looking for years. It's definitely got a bit out of hand, and it's definitely tarnishing the image, and it's definitely counterproductive in some circumstances. So we thought we would do this. This week in the news, as the lockdowns were reduced and tourists were welcomed back on the island, they really are coming back. You know, all the more and more restaurants are opening. It's still a long way from...
So nice to see our local places in St Helma opening up.
It is. It's a long way from a normal mid-July week, but it's better than it was 3 weeks ago. But unfortunately, one of the first headlines were the normal idiots going to Magaluf. Not that everyone who goes to Magaluf is an idiot, but there were a handful there who went there and drunk too much and got too close and jumped up and down on cars. And rather conveniently, the British press were there to take pictures of them all and
It wasn't a picture; it was a video. It was a video on somebody's phone that went viral. And it wasn't just Magaluf that got some negative coverage. There were other areas of Mallorca as well. And since that video was leaked, three parts of Mallorca have been shut down by the government. And we wanted to talk to somebody who could give us some background and some insight and what they thought, given that they are a professional person in tourism, what they thought about the current happenings.
Well, top of the list of people to talk to you about this sort of situation is Richie Pryor. You'll hear an interview with him in a moment. We met up with him today. He, if you don't know him, and frankly, more or less everybody here should, he's been the voice of Radio 1 Mallorca, the breakfast show, for a good long time.
A decade.
Probably not far off a decade. But he spent 3 decades, possibly a little more, as Captain Darling.
No way was it 3 decades.
Well, listen to the interview. He'll give you a bit more detail. But yeah, he's worked at the pirate show. He's worked on the radio. He's worked as a tour rep and a salesman. He's worked in Magaluf forever, basically. So, and he's a great listener as well. So he's about the perfect person to figure out exactly what's going on in Mallorca's party town. So I guess we'll leave it to Richie.
I'm looking forward to this, Ollie.
So here we are with Richie Pryor, Mr. Magaluf. I don't know whether that's the right thing to call you, but...
I live in Santa Ponza, so, you know...
Mr. Magaluf, you live just in
Santa Ponza.
Just far enough
moved away.
There we go. Did you ever live in Magaluf?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, my repping days back in the day, we all lived in Magaluf, or worked in Magaluf. My first years in Pirates were always lived in Magaluf. I sort of moved out to the slightly more salubrious Songkaliu when I met my wife. Or my girlfriend, as she was then, and now my wife. And we since have moved here, so I've been here about 15 years.
There we go, we've already jumped ahead, but that's always what happens when you talk to Richie. But I'm with Richie Pryor, known to many people as Richie from the radio, to millions possibly as Captain Darling for your time on stage in the Pirates Adventure Show, which has been running for a long time, and literally millions of people have seen that, haven't they?
Yeah. If you think we've been 35 years, on average 150,000 a year, work it out, it's about 3.5-4 million.
So. And you've been in Magaluf, I was reading, and also columnist in the Mallorca Daily Bulletin as well. You were a weekly column, isn't it? Something for the weekend?
Something for the weekend, and I blog it as well as another sort of thing added to my bow. So, you know, I thought a few years ago that I should sort of take what I write and then put it into a blog, which is what I do. So
perfect. And we'll link into that on the show notes on the podcast. So if you check out where you're subscribing to your podcast, you'll find a link to Richie's blog, if we can do that.
Yeah, sure.
So we're here to talk about Magaluf. It's been in the news a lot. Our last episode, we were talking about face masks and the COVID effects, the way the COVID virus is affecting Mallorca. But this last past week in Mallorca, the headlines of Magaluf dominated the place again. They shut the place down, didn't they, really, after a few British tourists were seen messing around, they took a rather huge step. Tell us about it.
Well, I think, firstly, to say that obviously they didn't shut the whole of Magaluf down. They shut a street to begin with, and then a couple of streets after it. The street is known as Punta Baena, the Strip, if you want to give it its known name to most people that come here on holiday. That particular road has been here since I've been here, which is 30 years.
This is the epicentre of the, if you like, the cliche of Magaluf, the young people drinking the loud, you know, the cheap drinks and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, this is the nightlife. So basically, this is the place where, you know, it's supposedly that all of the sort of the major nightlife goes on in Mallorca, in that particular area. It's got itself a bad name over the last sort of few years, with lots of different things that have happened. And I think the authorities, what they did in January before lockdown, they brought out this excessive tourism bill, basically to say that there will be no drinks offers, there'll be no free bars, there'll be no two for ones, no happy hours, nothing. Everybody had to adhere to it. And that was the new sort of norm, if that makes sense, which is the new sort of word that's around. And then obviously lockdown happened and everybody seemed to forget about the excessive tourism and, you know, what was going to happen.
No tourism, was there?
Tourism as a whole, really, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
We got back open again and slowly but surely businesses started to reopen and everything else, of which, you know, everybody was waiting for tourists to arrive before they could actually open any bars. And once they did, then at that point, you know, I don't quite know what they were going to expect here, really, to be perfectly honest, because in reality, the street is known for what it is. The bars are built for what it is.
Yes, absolutely.
If you were adhering to what, obviously, these new laws were about, then that's okay. Were you adhering to the social distancing? I don't know. I wasn't there. I saw the video. Didn't look great. But since then, obviously, what's happened is that they've decided that enough is enough and they'll close the whole street.
Instead of policing the streets or enforcing particular bars, they just went bam, the whole lot.
Yeah,
right. And this is knick-knack shops, tattoo parlours, perfume shops, everything. Right?
Which I find a bit strange, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But also, I think that I'm only going by what people tell me, and there are lots of different people. So I'm assuming it's true that there wasn't much policing going on right at the time, but since the lockdown has happened, or since this close down has happened, all of a sudden it's been like military rule out on the streets. So it's a little bit like it's like military rule. We've got people marching around with guns, which is for most people is a bit frightening. So the bars that are left open, for instance, I know of three different bars that had checks on them done over the last weekend.
Yeah,
I actually went out myself Saturday evening. I didn't actually see it. I went out quite early Saturday evening, but I was talking to a few people in the different place that I went, and they just said, this is not going to be great for the image of Magaluf to have, you know, uniformed people walking around with guns, you know.
And you know that the British press or the press in general are going to be looking for a picture of an armed Guardia Civil officer with a machine gun walking out Punta
Baena. It was set up for them. They set it up for them. It's just to show that we are on top of this. But in reality, you should have been on top of this when the actual bars opened, in my opinion. That's how it should have worked.
I mean, this Magaluf and particularly Punta Baena, if you don't know it, I mean, and we're trying to make a podcast that incorporates all the kind of things in Mallorca, and there's some people absolutely, you know, recoil from the image of Magaluf. You know, it's a million miles away from Dea and the mountains and Santa Ponsa, and even Palma Nova, which is, you know, less than a mile away. But it's a couple of hundred yards really of these party bars, and it just dominates the headlines, doesn't it? It dominates the international perception of Mallorca, and there's nothing wrong with it as a business. If people want to come and party, and you're happy to provide an opportunity for them to do it, that's absolutely fine, isn't it? But it just seems to be the kind of pantomime baddie as far as the press goes, doesn't it? They're always looking for negative stories.
There you go. You're looking for a story, you know, and stories sell newspapers. That's the unfortunate thing about it. Yeah. And you're right. There are lots of good things that happen. But even in that street, to be perfectly honest, people come and have been coming for years to go to that street. That's what they come for. They come to party, as you say. And I wouldn't say that Mallorca is on its own with having one of those streets. You know, they have one of those in San Antonio. They have one in Tenerife. They have them in
Arenal, don't they? As well,
in Arenal, they have them in pretty much every situation. What they're trying to do is trying to say that we don't want this excessive tourism. Yeah. And on the one hand, I get that. Yeah. I understand it because a company like Melias invested about 250 million euros in the resort, built up the resorts. I think I'm right in saying I blogged about this the weekend, is about 70% of all beds in Magaluf yes. now are four or five star, which is, you know, quite a high percentage. But that doesn't mean to say you're going to get rid of those type of tourists, because people now, when I first came to Magaluf, you'd probably say it was a three-star bucket and spade resort. Yeah? I'd repped here, I sold tickets here, but you used to find that families and adults, or adults only, or young people, whatever you want to call them, did holiday together. There wasn't this sort of them and us situation.
You knew
about the Strip. If you wanted to go, you go. If you didn't, you go, as you just said, Palmanova, or you go to some of the quieter bars in Magaluf, because there were some at that time.
Any town in Britain's got its lively bit, hasn't it? There's a few streets that you've seen.
And I think what's happened is that they're saying that, well, we don't want this excessive, but there will still be those type of people coming. They don't mind if they've got to pay a little bit more.
No.
Because that is what this sort of VIP culture has become quite like a want thing for people right now. Do you know what I mean?
Aspiration of blowing a lot of money.
Right. Yeah. And you see it now in some of the sort of the bars and everything else, that people just want to spend more money. They like a nice big bottle of vodka or champagne, whatever it is. And that to me is a different sort of excessive tourism than what they're talking about.
And the hope that you're going to price these people out of the market, you're saying, is probably naive. Not going to happen.
I think so. Yeah, I think. Well, let's be honest about this. Nikki Beach down the road is what I would call, you know, quite expensive.
It is.
I don't partake myself. But you know, richer, older, sometimes even younger people still get drunk. They still have a party. Do you know what I mean? And nobody wants to be a party pooper here. People come on holiday to enjoy themselves, to relax, to get away from the norm. Yeah?
Absolutely.
What they do.
Yeah.
The sunshine is a help, of course. We understand. The sea is a help. We're 2 hours from the UK. We're one of the best, I think, you know, one of the best holiday destinations in the world for that particular thing, particularly if you're coming from the UK.
Yeah.
So, why would you stop it? Or, why would you do it in a way that you don't talk to anybody else apart from what you think is right?
Yes.
Because I know for a fact I'm one of the, not I'm not the owner, but I'm part of a business that hasn't had any dialogue with anybody about this new law. And us as a business totally embraced it. In actual fact, it was better for us not to have what we were going on before. We actually thought, okay, fine, we can get on with this. This is all right. It's not going to affect our business. We don't run till late. We run till midnight, 1 o'clock. Mm. More or less, so we're not a late night, what I call a late night venue. But what I do see is that there's no dialogue here. There's no communication. It's just this is it.
This is we made our minds up. These are the new rules.
They've made the new rules, but they then put a map out to say these are the areas that it affects.
This was the start of the year, just to backtrack. Right. This was the excessive tourism zoning, if you like. They said this street is not subject to...
They started talking about it in November at the World Travel Market. It got out in January. I think it was at FITA, which is the Madrid market as well, when it sort of came to in the public eye, and then it was obviously made a law. But when you look at the map, there are certain areas that are in it and certain areas that aren't. And you find yourself thinking, well, I can do what I want to do in this area, but I can't do it in this area. But I could walk from that area into this area and still get away with it.
Yeah, okay.
In my opinion, do it, but do it for all.
And what are you going to have?
Or don't do it at all.
Checkpoints on the street saying...
Well,
and they suspiciously seem to avoid certain hotels, put it that way.
I know where you're going with that. Yes. And excursions, funnily enough, because my excursion is in, and there's another excursion in the middle of town that isn't in.
You mean you're... You are not. You're in.
We are
zone.
Part of the excessive zone.
Really,
pirates.
Really.
Yeah. Although our car park isn't.
The botte on. There you go.
There you go. That's another subject we could get onto. But yeah.
And this immediately made it into the press, didn't it? The zoning of Magaluf, the excessive tourism, made it into the UK press.
They did make a big.
And the angle was, look, they're trying to ruin your holiday. You know, and it's just, you're right. I mean, the people who are best placed to help reduce or control or police even this excessive tourism is the businesses. You know, is the people who are serving the customers and attracting the customers.
And I think a lot of businesses were prepared to embrace it, to be honest with you. In actual fact, it probably would make, in reality, them more money, to be honest, than having to do. The problem they had, amongst each other, they're all fighting amongst each other for business, you know? And so I'll do this offer here and I'll do that offer here. Yeah. Well, if you all had the same thing and you all sold in it, listen, at that point, it's all down to how good your bar is, how good your service is, how clean or whatever, you know, everything else apart... look at your business like that rather than, oh, he offers it cheaper than me, yeah, so I've got to offer it cheaper than him, and it gets a bit silly.
I'm way too old to go to Magaluf for a night out. But I have done it on occasion with just in a bit of a sort of journalistic context, and it's exactly what I saw, was just the rush to provide it as cheap as possible.
Yeah.
And actually, if you're a business running a bar in competition with other bars, and your business plan is make it cheap, what you're doing is forcing everyone's profits down. So
exactly.
You know, so you're not making the
and
money.
And you've got to also think that your UK market, which is your prime market, they don't have cheap offers in the UK anymore. They might have a happy hour every now and again, but mainly you go out on a Friday and Saturday night, beer is...
Was it £4 a pint?
No, not in London.
It's been a while.
It's close to 10 in London. Yeah. If you go to the really expensive places. But yeah, no, I just find it frustrating. I really do. And I think that you're getting told what to do and not actually being given a chance to arrive at a situation that is agreeable to all. Now, that is difficult as well, I get.
Yeah.
Because not everybody's going to agree to everything. But if you want to... for the better of the resort, make it better. And yeah, most people should sign up for that, I think.
I think so. And actually, if you're looking at businesses that are, for the want of a better expression, a cheap bar or a cheap restaurant, if you're increasing the quality, pushing up the quality of the hotels and the rest of it, it's not very difficult to close down a bar, repaint it, put some sushi on the menu and put your prices up, is it?
It's not true.
You've got to demolish them and start again in the main.
No.
You know, you can change the way these things, you know, we've just seen along the front of the beach in Magaluf over the last couple of years. As you say, you know, places are selling nice, expensive cocktails rather than the dirt cheap ones, and the beach clubs and the massage things.
I sat on a beach club, which I had never been. I was recommended by some friends last Saturday evening. You'd have thought you were somewhere else.
Yeah.
You'd have thought you were not the Caribbean, but you'd have thought you were somewhere in the Mediterranean, not in what you call Magaluf. You know, I could have been in Formentera, to be honest, because there were some beautiful boats right by the side of me. There were some sunbeds right in front of me. The beach was in front of me. The beach was pretty busy. The water was not crystal clear.
As good as it's ever been, isn't it, now?
Well, yeah. Yeah, for some reasons, of course. But yeah, and you know, I think the seafront, and I think the beach is one of the most beautiful on the island.
I think so, absolutely. If you like a proper sun worshippers beach and crystal clear water, and the way the resort is set up actually is you've got beach and then restaurants. So many of them, you've got beach, road, restaurant.
Yeah.
And actually, and in Magaluf, beach, restaurant, road is perfect.
Mm.
You know, there's a little walkway if you haven't seen it. And it is changing, you know. It's there's some people who recoil at even looking at it from the motorway, but it's worth a visit.
You go from that really into sort of back into the strip, what they regard as you know, this hedonistic madness that goes on. It's literally one street behind, really. If the truth be known, on one
it
half
is actually,
of the...
yeah, it's absolutely true, isn't it? And then you go another 100 yards, and you're into the family resort again. It is, you know, for the amount of column inches and social media posts Magaluf and Punta Boyana get, it is nothing, is it? You could fit it in the Sainsbury's car park, couldn't you, more or less?
We mentioned that, you know, it is the fact that it sells papers. People want to see those stories or hear about those stories, unfortunately. But
they do, and it self-perpetuates, and then it gets into the Spanish
press. Sometimes it's the press that actually set it up as well.
Oh, I'm absolutely sure of it, yeah. And then that feeds back to Madrid, and Madrid go, we can't do this, and we must have a word with the mayor of Calvo, and, you know, and it becomes this... you know, them and us all the time, doesn't it? I mean, just moving on slightly, what's it... I mean, the pirates that you've worked for and worked for 30 years, is it now?
35 years it's been going. I haven't personally worked there for 35 years. I've been there 25 years.
Okay.
So, listen, it's frustrating, to be honest with you, more than anything else, that we understood the situation with regards to COVID and everything else. We understood that, you know, with a venue that holds sort of 900 people, it's going to be difficult to do it. But, you know... once again, not given the actual chance to do it, just to be told, no, you can't open your doors, anything more than 300 people will not be allowed to open its doors without any way, shape or form. But I'm happy for people to fly on an aeroplane in much more closed circumstances to get here, if the case may be, get on a bus, you know, all right, we're talking less people, but you know what I mean?
We
crunched so many numbers between the lockdown and when we thought we could open, to see where we could get to, how many shows we would have to do in relation to what, you know, what the number was, the magic number, what they were going to give us. We thought it might be around about 50%, which would be, in our case, about 450, 425
And you must have
people.
A break-even point that you say, well, above that, below that, we don't make
quite
any money.
We're lucky in Pirates that obviously we can do more than one show in a day. You know, we have three. We've got Pirates Adventure for the families, Reloaded for the kids, the adults only. And then we set up Gringos as well for the adults only as well. So we've got three sort of different shows for different sort of different ages of people, if that makes sense. And it just was, it was just frustrating again. And then you've got to tell 120 staff that they're not coming back to work.
Just to butt in there, how many people in a normal year work for Pirates?
120.
That's the bar staff and the cleaners and the cast. Yeah, it's big, isn't it? And then you've got all the reps selling tickets, and we just provide an income for.
Well, if you think that we had thousands of tickets already out there sold,
yeah,
we
okay.
had to contact
yeah.
all those people, basically ask them, at the beginning, before obviously we didn't know we were going to be open, we were offering them another show in 2020, later on in the year, we were offering them a show in 2021, we were offering them to hold their tickets for them at any point where they wanted to come back, or we were offering them to pass those tickets on to a family member or a friend if they weren't coming. If they came back and said, no, listen, we're not going to come back, can we have a refund? Yes, we were refunding. So, but you can imagine it. We're not actually supposed to be working here. This
doing
is
all of this office and admin work without, and you're not earning a penny out of it at the moment.
We had to do it all from home.
Gosh, so, yeah. And the other businesses that you know, how are they finding it? I guess you know plenty of people who do run bars and.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I can tell you, obviously, because I've spoken to my fellow sort of excursion people, Western Park is not opening for the summer. Mm-hmm. Kathmandu is not opening for the summer. Kathmandu is opening the hotel, and they are opening some of the park, I think, for some of the clientele of the hotel, but not for outside people. Golf Fantasia, I think, might be opening. They were umming and ahhing the last time I spoke to them whether they're going to open. This is just in the zone, zone. Of bar owners and restaurant owners, and obviously BCM's not going to open. It's the biggest club. They're going through a big renovation now anyway. I was in there a couple of weeks ago, actually. It's going
to be spectacular. The hotels, I mean, all the big attractions are shut and probably going to stay shut.
Yeah.
And most of the bars are closed or heavily restricted. And now it's compulsory mask wearing around the streets, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not looking a good season.
Well, look, as you know, I work in Magaluf. I work on the radio every day, mm-hmm. and I go in every morning, and I'm in there at 7 in the morning. I'm normally seeing people coming home from a night out. I don't see anybody.
No.
And then I leave at 11, and I don't really see many more people either, if the truth be known. We work right on the beach. The beach is not that busy. I was walking on the beach on Saturday evening. It was busier than I've probably seen it, but not busy, but there's so much stuff not open.
Yeah.
It's just I don't know, it's heartbreaking really to see it.
It is. I mean, some businesses will be lucky or prudent enough to go, oh, you know what, we'll shut the door, we've got enough in the bank to keep us going until next year and we'll hope for better then. But some of them, I mean, I don't know any names, wouldn't name them if I did, but I mean, there's just going to be a lot that are just going to not come back.
I wandered a little bit into town this morning after the show, and a lot of for rent sales up.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
In shops,
a lot of these are little marginal businesses anyway, yeah. Let alone losing the years taking. Yeah, exactly.
And don't forget, our tourism season really is only, well, they say 6 or 7 months. It's not really, if the truth be known. We're looking sort of mid-May to mid-October probably is the time when there is volume of people,
So you're making money either side of that, but not that's where you make the bulk of your year's money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not easy on anybody, is it? And this isn't. I should say this is obviously not just Magaluf. More or less, wherever you go, actually, in Mallorca, I work around Port Andratx, which is a very different place. But most things there are closed or half empty. Or
I was in Alcudia last week, and most of Alcudia shut up, not open.
No, and we're talking on the 20th of July today, and already wherever you look, actually around the world, around Europe, certainly there's just more and more. Mask wearing and second spikes popping up. I was in France last week, actually, seeing the in-laws. And just today they announced compulsory mask wearing everywhere and spikes coming up. So it's a hunker down time, I'm afraid, isn't it? It'd be nice to say some good news or talk about something positive, actually.
Yeah, I mean, listen, look, there are some fantastic places still to go here.
There's
some places, I think, I remember you telling me, we spoke a few weeks ago, and you said this is the perfect time for us as residents right now to get out and see this island that we would never see in the height of summer. I've been to places already. I was up in a restaurant in Daya that I've never been to.
Oh, yes, yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, that place is stunning, and I never would have gone there, obviously this time you've never would have gone there, but, I'm off to Porto Cristo in a couple of weeks. For a weekend, it is the time to go and see things.
We said this in the podcast last week. If you want to, not that I would discourage anybody or encourage, just you make your own mind up. But if you want to come and have a resort-based holiday and all of those sorts of things, be prepared for not that much stuff to be open, and it's not to be like your regular, like you would have last year and hope you'll have next year. But if you want to see this place quiet, you know, you want to have an absolutely quiet time and swim in the sea where there's hardly anybody there, now is a good year to come if you want to.
Yeah, I agree totally. There's some great things. There's still some fantastic things to see in this island, as I say. It's not about one street in the middle of Magaluf. It's a lot more than that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's 0.00% of this beautiful island. But we were just saying before, it just really does grab the headlines somewhat unfairly. So come and have a look at it. But while we're talking about positivity, and finally, you know, we mentioned before about the increasing the star. It was 70% of the hotel beds and a 4 and 5 star. And it seems to be the way that some people, maybe the government and the hotel groups, are trying to push Magaluf to be a for the want of a better expression, a class, more upmarket place. That's probably the best way of putting it. One question in two parts. Can you see that happening? And can you see it succeeding?
Yes, I can see it happen. Well, it has happened. Definitely the hotels have done it. You know, they've, you know, as we talked about Melia alone have invested $250 million. This has been an 8-year plan for them.
Yeah, Melia's a big hotel group here, aren't they? And they invested in the... do they own Nikki Beach?
I think so, yes.
Okay, some involvement there. And they also built, and correct me if I'm wrong, the Momentum Plaza, which was a hotel and...
It was the old Jamaica from I'm repped in Jamaica many moons ago, so I remember it from those days, yeah.
They built like a food court and shopping complex and a leaky swimming pool on the roof, actually, that they haven't quite fixed yet, but it's quite impressive when it works.
There was a very good plant pot positioned quite nicely underneath. I remember.
But they committed to keeping it. I mean, it's a very expensive thing to build, and they committed to keeping it open over the winters, which is something that Magaluf struggled with over the last couple of years. Mm. No doubt, anticipating to take a bit of a hit in the wallet while they effectively rebuilt business winter business. So this is the Melia Group. Sorry, you were saying that. So there is money being spent.
There are 10 hotels or more or less in the resort, so it's a fairly big player in the resort, and they have, you know, spent a lot of money on all the hotels, updating them and getting them into shape for what they talk about, you know, this new, more upmarket clientele. My worry about it all is that you are, well, right now, of course, what's happening is that you need a resort around your hotel. What you can't have is a very nice hotel but no resort to go out into.
No.
Yeah. So I think right now the infrastructure for the beach and everything around the beach, I think, is great. What isn't right is behind, or, you know, one line back, two lines back, three lines back, however many lines back you want to go. And personally, I don't think right now that many have signed up for what's happening out on the street right now, because the Momentum Plaza, I think, opened this weekend. I had it down and shut, and it was shut when I was writing about it last week. But I think I saw it open this weekend. Listen, there's Mango in there, there's 4 or 5 different restaurants, there was Starbucks, of course. But I think what's frustrating is that, you know, you're gonna have something that might be good on the sort of inside, as in the hotel, but what's on the outside right now, you know? You have to, in order to build that up, you still got to have that. Because it's interesting that all of the Melia hotels never offered all-inclusive, which was obviously the other big thing that was put into the excessive tourism bill, that you couldn't offer all-inclusive in hotels, because there were hotels that were
all-inclusive. That's worth a podcast on its own, actually, the all-inclusives, isn't it? But just briefly, that's where you pay, and you get your food and your accommodation, and basically it helps people with an affordable holiday, but actually it tends to encourage people just to drink an awful lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, and drink really
very
cheap stuff that isn't
stuff.
Very good. You go to an all-inclusive in, you know, Mexico or something like that, and you'll get pretty good top-shelf stuff. But the majority of the stuff they're serving here, you know,
doesn't bring out the best in people.
No, but that, as we've seen, do you know what I mean? But that, you know, that was the other side of the, you know, that people were drinking all day in the hotels, then going out at night. It wasn't creating, you know, what you should have done. If, you know, in reality is, you know, offer what you offer in the hotel. People want to buy and drink, buy and drink. You know, people are probably less inclined to get absolutely smashed in the daytime if it's not on offer or for free all day.
No, that's true.
And same in the bar. You know, you've got to go and buy it. If you go and buy it, then, you know, and then it's up to the bars to police it as well as the police to police. They're policing people inside. They all have security, majority of the bars. And then there should be a police presence on the outside. I remember years ago, you know, I remember seeing the Guardia in 1990 when the World Cup was on, and England were obviously doing well. Not many, you know, it doesn't happen that often.
No.
But that was 1990 when they got to the semi-finals, I think.
It is.
But there was a huge police presence, and you didn't really sort of feel that there was a police presence around when it first opened, when I think there should have been, because it was an accident waiting to happen. It's going to happen. Because also, don't forget, right now, there's this law that have to shut them out at 2 o'clock.
Right, okay. I wasn't aware of that one either. Okay,
so they shut them out at 2 o'clock. There's nowhere for them to go.
No.
So
you're on the streets at the same time you're looking for someone to go.
There you go. Yeah. You see, that's where the other problem is. So for me, whilst giving you all these laws, they're creating the problems as well.
It's compound error, isn't it?
For me, it is, Yeah, and I also think, I think I talked about this in the blog last week, I don't think the right people are in the right jobs right now. I just still feel that it's, you know, and I'm one of them. I'm one of the olders, you know what I mean, that probably don't understand what young people want these days. It's true, because people don't want what I wanted or what, when I was involved in repping, what the kids wanted at that time. You know, we put them on boats, we put them in a barker, we took them, you know, here, there and everywhere.
You use the right word there, kids. I mean, the demographic seems to get younger and younger, doesn't it? I mean, the times I've done a few bits of work on the strip, I mean, maybe it's just because I'm old that they all look like kids, but I mean, there's a lot of late teens and very early 20s out there these days.
Yeah, these are all the uni kids, you know what I mean? But they want a lot, they're sort of, you know, they want different things, you know. We know, and it's all about social media now, it's all about how you look and stuff like that, and they're not really, they don't really want to get complete, no, they want to get drunk, but not, they don't get drunk how I think kids used to many, many years ago.
So maybe it's not Magaluf telling everyone, right, you're going upper class. What was the phrase I used? Upmarket.
Upmarket.
It's not Magaluf telling people to go upmarket necessarily. It's people saying, actually, we want a bit of something that's a bit more upmarket.
Well, listen, what has sort of disappeared over the last years, 18th, Club 1830 is gone. You know, 20s was another brand. It's gone. Yeah. You know, people aren't into that anymore, really. And I get that. And so the resort and everything else around it has got to change. That's fine. But, you know, whilst you're looking at what they're doing and everything else, I just feel that you need younger people in those governmental jobs, which we know doesn't happen that often, even in any government across the world. You don't see younger people, to see what these people want.
And consulting with the local businesses.
As well, because, as I said earlier, you know, local business, been told I can't open, but I'm under no consultation.
Yeah.
I might understand it more if someone sat me down and says, listen, this is the reason. Okay, right, fine, I get it. But also, consultation about what's going to happen in the future. Because right now, I don't even know if we can open in 2021.
No.
Because nobody's actually telling us anything.
You know? No, I mean, whatever you do and wherever you live, actually, what's happening in the next 6 months or next year actually is so...
And I understand it's difficult. I understand it's difficult. But, you know, dialogue is a good thing, whether it's, you know, it's positive or negative. You just want to hear something.
Absolutely. And we have, you know, Mallorca's economy is basically tourism. It does a few other things, but basically it's tourism.
44% GDP.
Yeah.
And you take everything else that
I think it's much
around
more than that.
85%.
Yes, exactly that. That's when you're talking about the 44% of people actually talking with tourists. The 85% is where
the people around,
where the waiters go and have their car fixed and buy their coffee and all of that sort of stuff. It's huge. And it's, you know, the government here, I have to say, does seem to be taking the virus very seriously, which I'm very pleased about. But in order to protect its GDP, it's got to talk to everybody who's a stakeholder in this. And I think they will, actually. I hope they have to.
It hasn't happened right now. That's my annoyance at the fact that, look, they had 3.5 months of not having to do anything because they were ruled by what happened in Madrid.
Yeah.
So at the point of the 3.5 months coming, there should have been a plan. Right, what are we going to do? We're going to let bars open, but we're going to obviously keep a big police presence so we don't get the problems. We're going to make everybody wear masks. Right at the beginning, that should have been the plan, I think.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, all these sort of things start, barriers start coming in after you've actually opened your doors, when you've told the whole world this is the safest place
to
come.
Come on.
Come in. And then all of a sudden, oh no, well, this has happened, that's happened. And then all of a sudden you're building barriers and stopping people from coming.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
It is. Well, I guess we just...
run out of time.
Well, we haven't run out of time. How long was that? It's looking forward, isn't it, I suppose? I mean, to try and end on a positive, there is a lot of negatives around at the moment. I mean, with luck and good fortune and wearing the masks at the right time, this will go away. And at its core, Magaluf, this is a beautiful beach with the sun shines. It's great. It's a wonderful place to be. And actually, it's just changing the nature of it, isn't it? And I really hope it'll happen.
Yeah, listen, I think they might want to change the name. You know, this Calvia Beach Resort is something that's been sort of pushed forward, which... You know, I don't have a problem with it personally.
No.
The problem is that it's known as Magaluf, you know.
And something less polite version of that as well by a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if your team Everton was going to change its name, you know, with all that history that it had behind it, you wouldn't be very happy with it, would
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
You know, so it's what people are used to. Whether it's the right used to is a question that's worth asking, I think. But you know, years ago we were joking, we used to joke that, you know, that they were going to try and change it to Maganova or something like that because, you know, it was giving it a little bit better of a name, even that, you know, when I'm going back to sort of mid-1990s. So, I don't know, let's see. You know, as you say, there are many more, for me, there are many more positives than outweigh the negatives. But I think it's time that other people will listen to, you know, give the business owners out there. I think there's some great people in Magaluf, and younger people as well that have built businesses and have an opportunity to help. Because we all want, what we all want is good tourism. Nobody wants bad tourism. I mean, you know, nobody's gone out and go, give me that bad tourism. You know what I mean? That's not about that. It's about good tourism. Tourists that come, enjoy themselves, spend the money, because obviously that's what we're here
to do. Not afraid of spending money, are they? People save up all year to come on their holidays to Mallorca, and they're quite happy to spend. I mean, you know, they're looking for value. It's not, you know, Magaluf is not upper class tourism necessarily, or very upmarket tourism, but people are looking for value, but they're not stingy. You know, they're coming, they are happy to spend, aren't they? You know, they, I mean, you know, they'll go out to Pirates or the water parks. These are, you know, relatively big ticket things. You know, they're great value for money again. As you know, Pirates have always offered great value for money, but it requires some expenditure if you've got mum, dad and a couple of kids, and people are very happy to do it, as the queues around the block to get in there will tell you for the last 30 years. So, yeah, I think you're right. Hope someone listens to you.
Well, that's the point. I think, you know, will they? That's the question we're all sort of asking. And, you know, this is not about pushing an agenda or anything like this. This is just saying to, you know, the powers that be, what, you know, why don't you listen to people, you know? We're not bad people. What we want is what you really want.
We all want the same thing.
But we might have changed, we might have different views on different things, but we all have to sometimes get around the table and say, okay, this is how we should be planning this.
Yeah. Well, wish you luck. Anyway, thank you very much. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
See you next time. Hope
nice to see you.
I was going to hope you get back to work, but maybe you're enjoying your summer off.
To be honest with you, it's actually quite nice to spend a bit more time with the family and do sort of things that I wouldn't normally do, but in reality, I'd love to be back at work.
Okay. Three decades without a summer. Enjoy this one as much as you can.
So
we'll get back.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
See, I told you, he knew his stuff. He was the right man to talk to.
He is a good guy to speak to. God bless him. He's like a local treasure.
He probably is, actually. Yeah, a part of the fixture and fitting. So thanks for your time today, Richie.
And, interesting what he had to say. Very detailed. It was making me think a lot about the kind of, not just about the bar owner's responsibility, but also local authorities and the police's responsibility to keep people safe. And did they close the stable door after the horse had bolted on that one, Ollie?
I am nowhere near qualified enough to talk about the very complicated nature of Magaluf politics. You've obviously just had a listen. It's always been a very complicated mix of politics and pressures from all manner of different directions, Magaluf, and it is what it is, you know. So, I mean, you know, as Richie said, it is positive, really, that the things that the authorities want, as in really clamping down on the people who are really going a little too over the top, is more or less exactly in the same interest of the hotels and the bar owners, the big businesses and the small businesses. That's, you know, they all really share the same motivation. It's just a question of how they all get there. And you know, it is a beautiful beach. It is a stunning location. It's in one of the most prosperous parts of the island. There's no reason why if it is their intention to push it to a more upmarket resort, that it shouldn't absolutely flourish and, really crucially, take all of its business owners with it. Mm. It doesn't need to shed them. It doesn't need to ditch them and make them
go
away.
That was really interesting, what you guys were saying about how people, business owners in Mallorca, in Magaluf, are looking for good tourism. Nobody wants nobody wants abusive tourism, do they? They want to have something where they're providing a great service at a good price for people that want to come and enjoy it. And I think that really, given what Richie was saying, actually, I think he's right. The way that most people are wanting to seek out a holiday these days is changing, actually.
Yes.
Is changing. And Magaluf is responding to that. And the thing is that video of the unfortunate incident of people being, and I mean, I mean, you have to put it in context. The video was taken after 2 o'clock in the morning,
yes,
when all of the bars had been told they had to close. So everybody was on the street at the same time. And you and I have both left football grounds at the end of a match, have we not?
It's
and
true,
you go yeah. into the tunnel and every and the exits and everybody's making a noise. And it's like that kind of tribal thing going on. And I feel like that's exactly what was going on Punta Ballena that night as well.
I think so. You know, it's it does seem to be a serial case of mismanagement a lot of times.
Yeah.
And some there are theories that this is nefarious or trying to push a certain agenda. I don't know enough about Magaluf or the situation to know whether that's true
I
or
did
not.
Ask,
but listen to them.
I did know. Ask around to see if I could get a couple of other bar owners and people that are based and work in Magaluf to contribute, but I think that most people are keeping their powder dry at the moment because now we know, since that recording that you made with Richie just this afternoon, that actually an association of bar owners in Magaluf is now talking about suing the Spanish government
Magaluf
for their
and
decision.
Arenal, actually, which is Arenal is, if you don't know, Arenal is actually a much larger resort.
It was huge.
It was Mallorca's kind of first really big resort, built, I guess, in the late 60s. It's beyond the airport. It's called the Playa de Palma, and Arenal is part of it. It actually was a very British resort when it first started.
Was
but now,
it?
Yeah, very much so. It
I
was.
Didn't
it
know
was
that.
The first place. It's big, you know. It's miles and miles long, and big hotels, and
they
a lovely sandy
a,
beach.
They have a road called Bierstraße.
I believe so. Beer on Sausage Street. Which will give you an idea, a little bit, about
it's
key clientele these days. As I said, it started as a British resort, but it's funny how these things sort of ghetto-wise, don't they? It's now very popular with the Germans. There's giant beer halls and sausage things. It's actually a lot of fun, actually, I have to say, if you want to go for a day.
It is a lot.
And the Dutch are there, but actually very few Brits these days who tend to have found themselves around Palma Nova and Magaluf, Port Ells, and the Calvi coast, as well as other places in Mallorca, of course. Such is the way of things.
I was a bit sad hearing about Richie saying that he was up north and there aren't that many places open. And I know from my friends who live in and work in Puyenza and Curia that it is a bit quiet, but that's not to say that the places that are open aren't good places. So I think if you're planning on a holiday in the next few weeks to Mallorca, then check out what's going on in your local area. You can always come and join the Majorca Mallorca Facebook group and ask in the group if you've got a specific question.
Ask a local, why not?
Yeah,
who else would you ask?
Those people in that group. You know, there's loads of people in there that can answer your questions really honestly about what's going on, what's open, what's not, what to do, what not to do. Just get in touch with us and ask us questions, because we really want the economy in Mallorca to not take a nosedive because of COVID, but also we need to keep everybody safe and everybody healthy. And it's very hard creating that balance. And I know that one of the reasons why Mallorca had to reopen its borders, maybe too quickly, some people say, was because of economics. But we also can't afford another lockdown the way that we've experienced it. And we have to make it a fun and inviting and safe place for people to come on holiday, but also keep it a safe place for the people that are living here already.
Absolutely. I mean, these are the struggles of finding the equilibrium between locking down and opening up. It's not a uniquely Mallorcan situation by any means. It's every single economy, every single place in the world is doing exactly that, with different economic pressures and different economic drivers. But it's they're all doing it, and it's finding that. As we said last week, it's finding that balance and then changing it as the situation
changes
and hoping for the best.
That Richie said that I see how he can be frustrated about what's going on. I mean, he works for one of the biggest businesses in Magaluf. They are shut. They can't do anything at the moment. They have no real clear idea about when they're going to be able to open. And Pirates, it's got to be said, is a banging show. It's
brilliant. It is absolutely in the fabric of of a holiday, of many people's holidays in Mallorca.
And we've both worked for that company, haven't we, taking pictures?
In one way or another, you know, taking pictures of the celebrity shows or the charity events they used to do. But it is, you know, it's, if you don't know it, it's a wonderful eat, drink, you know, themed acrobatic show based around pirates. It's one, they run a show for the families, they run a show in the evenings, which is a little naughty, a little off the cuff. It's called Reloaded.
It has tit jokes in it's got, that's about it.
The dancers have smaller pants.
They do.
Mostly.
There's a little bit more girl-on-girl action than a family show would allow.
And the bottles of vodka are bigger. But that's, it's great. Look, I've seen the show a million times. And it's the performers are amazing, and it's a great show. And it's a real shame that actually it is part, you know, for many family holidays, particularly who bring them, you know, mum, dad, and a couple of kids who come for a bucket and spade holiday and all of that kind of thing, and they really deserve it. The pirate show actually is a really important part of that show.
But the point I was trying to get to was this. He was saying about why the government had all this time to think about what to do. I'm going to say again, this is the first time this has ever happened. Yeah. And I think that, hindsight is a beautiful thing. And knowing how to respond to these things is important. Maybe they should have put the police on the street before that fateful video was filmed. And maybe they'd have been able to control it. But you know what? All the time that I've worked in and shot parties and shot events in Magaluf, I have never seen the police on Punta Mallorca.
No.
Have you?
No, I haven't actually.
Ever.
You should mention
controlling
when you're talking
ever.
About shooting parties at a photographer. Well,
yeah. And not getting around with a rifle or an AK-47.
A lone gunman.
Well, my point is that the police presence in Magaluf is pretty low key in those areas, and they should perhaps have been more visible and have had taken much more control of the situation.
Quite possibly, but we've spoken to the man who knows more than most about Magaluf, so you can have a listen, make your own mind up. And we'll move on to something else next week, I guess. Well, we're being a little driven by events currently.
Yeah, we are.
Which is the right thing to do, actually, because events are changing rapidly and they're changing the way the island responds to them. So,
I would so much like to just talk about going to the beach next week or going for paella or going and just having a nice time in Mallorca.
As they say,
can we do that?
As they say, let's party like a giri. Go to the beach. No, this is something that I've heard many Mallorcans say.
Party like a giri.
What should we do at the weekend? Party like a giri. Which means go to the beach, order a giant paella, drink some pink wine and swim in the sea.
That sounds perfect.
That's exactly
what you do it on Sunday.
I know, let's do it.
I really like that.
Thank you very much for tuning in to episode 2.
Ep 2. We're going to be calling it Ep 2, The Pantomime Baddie of Mallorca.
Oh, there you go.
There you go, there's the title.
Headline ruined it.
Hey, if you want to get in touch with our podcast, us in fact, you can send us an email to MallorcaMallorcaPodcast@gmail.com, and I'll put that in the show notes. Also, I'll stick a link in the show notes for Richie's blog.
Yeah, he's a good read, actually. He writes, as you heard in the interview...
He's written for The Telegraph.
Has he?
I know.
I should have bowed.
Fancy pants.
I should have tugged my forelock when I
Fancy
arrived.
Fancy pants.
There you go.
Maybe I've got that wrong, but I thought he had.
Well, he has now. You said it.
Oh, good job, Pryor. Thank you very much for the interview.
So, if we haven't all been exploded by a virus or a meteorite, we shall have a crack at episode 3 this time next week.
What are we going to talk about then?
I don't know yet.
Events. No.
If there's anything you'd like to know, whether you're planning to come here on holiday or if you live here or anything really, if you found us, please feel free to send a question or a suggestion, as long as they're nice ones. And it would really help us, actually, if you enjoyed it, to share it. Actually,
we'd
like to get as many people to listen to it as possible.
Share our witterings and click on subscribe on whatever it is that you listen to this on, because that helps you find us again. And then we can be friends.
So that's it. I guess that's goodbye. For this week, at least.
Is that it?
Yeah. It's hot right now.
Oh, it is.
It's beautiful.
Hot.
The sea's gorgeous. And holiday season is upon us if we only got a few tourists. So please come and join us.
It doesn't seem to have affected the price of hire cars yet.
No, not yet. So we'll see you again next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
See ya.
Adios.
Adios. I thought we were going to break that then.
Ching, ching.
Mallorca, 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 let's follow.